Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jordan from Laytonville High School, and
Kia from Laytonville High School,
Jesse from Laytonville High School,
and Royce, a Willits High School graduate.
Today our topic is the future, hopes and concerns. Two of the most frequently asked questions to high school students are, where are you going to go to college, and what are you going to do when you're done with school? By senior year, most students have a pretty good idea about college, but our future careers and lifestyles are much less certain.
At 18 years old, most people have three-fourths of a life ahead of them, and many aspects of personality are just emerging. For some people, a career path seems obvious. They have shown talents and interest in a specific field, and their parents and teachers have helped them develop a plan. And hopefully, that plan includes knowledge that positions will be available in that job market. 50 years ago, an 18-year-old with a career plan could count on jobs being available, and college in California could be attended without going into debt. The job market has not bounced back from the banker-created recession of 2009. In our region, new construction of homes and all the associated jobs are minimal. The timber industry is just above a standstill. The chief sources of agricultural revenue in this county are wineries and marijuana production. When marijuana is legalized, will Mendocino County still have the economic edge that the illegal production has provided for the past 30 years?
There is an increase in sustainable gardening operations, and there are farmers markets across the county helping make small farming successful. A number of former Youth Speaks Out hosts are doing quite well raising animals for local meat markets. In technology careers, a number of young adults in our community have created an internet-oriented businesses, and some are developing websites for established businesses and schools. Installing alternative energy systems is a growing industry here, helped by rebates for solar energy. However, many young people find that they need to leave the county to pursue careers.
Today's show is not just about jobs and careers. It's also about how society is changing. How do young people feel about creating families? How many look forward to having children? What effect will the acceptance of gay marriage have on upcoming generations? With high prices of housing and limited jobs, will communal living become popular again? How many young people will continue living with their parents through their 20s and 30s? And how many of our youth will remain in our community? We are going to compare how youth live in the past and present and future. We heard our parents describe their childhoods and the society of that era, and sounds notably different from our own. And we will speculate on the society that children born in the next 20 years will grow in.
We will also discuss the environment and the future. Most people say that the climate is changing, and that is not good news. It is harder to tell if the weather has changed if when you were 18 years old than if you were 60. We do know that this year is one of the worst drought situations in California history. And most of us live in the Laytonville area where there is a large forest fire underway, made more dangerous by the extremely low humidity caused by the lack of rainfall last winter and the very high temperatures this summer. Is this the beginning of climate change? What will Mendocino be like in 20 years? 40? Is there anything we can do to reverse this trend? Today's topic is the future, hopes and concerns. We're going to express our knowledge and opinions about how the future looks, and in 30 minutes or so, we will ask you to call and join the discussion at 456-9991. We host this program to increase understanding between all the age groups in our community and all the different perspectives, and despite our diversity, we are all headed into a similar future. So let's begin by going around and hypothesizing what we'll be doing in 20 years.
20 years to me is a really far ways away, but I hope that I would be graduating with a four-year diploma from Montana State and doing a major in ag science with a minor in ag business, and hopefully be at the job of my dreams and have this, like, house that you just love and just doing what you love to do most, and that's what I really hope to do in 20 years. Hope everything goes according to plan.
Well, I will be attending Southern Oregon University this fall, where I plan on graduating with a Bachelor's of Fine Arts in theater, with maybe a minor in art of some kind. But in 20 years, I'm hoping to have a job where I can both act on the side, have time for like acting on the side, and maybe do some kind of like art construction. I want to make stuff, but I also really want to act, and those both really make me happy. So that's, I'm trying to find some kind of job that will allow me to complete both of those.
I think in 20 years, I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing, just hopefully what I really love, and I can see myself in 20 years also taking over a business that my mom runs in New Mexico, and since I'm probably the most qualified out of the kids, but yeah, I just see myself going to college and figuring out what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I think myself, a lot like a large majority of today's youth, that don't have any idea what they want to do after high school and college. So, yeah.
I said I wanted to get a degree in as a bachelor's of fine arts, but in today's workplace, it seems like if you have a degree of any kind, that it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a job. Just having a degree is good. And today we focus on getting a degree, but that still doesn't mean you're going to get a job in turn with that thing.
Yeah. A lot of times like now, it just depends on your skills and like how much hands work on you've had with it so far. So it doesn't even necessarily mean that you'll get a job over someone that doesn't have a degree, but
yeah, nothing's guaranteed, especially, yeah, for our generation, nothing is guaranteed as it was to our parents' generation or our grandparents' generation.
I just know that a lot of jobs look for the degree. Like, you can be really smart, but as long as you don't have a little piece of paper that said, hey, I graduated college, a lot of jobs aren't going to want you.
That depends on, like, what kind of job you go for, though, a lot of the times. Like, how you were saying you wanted, like, agriculture, like, a lot of the times, like, what you were talking about, like scoping out like how they call on people to find like the highways where they want to put them, like by the bypass where they always have the survey crews coming in. Like, a lot of the times they will like make you go get that, you know, but it just depends on like what kind of job area you want.
Well, it's also a lot of colleges ensure you that, yeah, you like this field so you can have this job. A lot of colleges assure you,
yeah,
like a certain number of figures.
They assure you, but that doesn't mean a lot, yeah, sometimes.
Like, if, like, yeah, a lot of times it depends on, like, where you go to school. Because a lot of the places, like San Jose, it's really hard to get a job there when you're in college because it's such a college town. So, like, all the jobs are taken. So it's pretty much impossible to find a job there. So
I think that's how it is with a lot of college towns. So there's just so many young children looking for jobs. It's really hard.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's still difficult.
Should we go into families like we were talking about earlier? No.
Yeah, I think so. Does anybody have any input on families, future families?
Well, I see myself like starting a family like when I'm like 30s, like mid or late 30s. Not late, more like mid 30s. But, like, I see myself trying to, like, get started and kickstart a career path first. So, a little bit safer.
Yeah, I plan on having a family in the future, just a little bit further in the future. Like, I'd like to be out of school, and I'd like to have a house that's suitable for children. And I'd like to...
A study job.
Definitely have a spouse. Spouses are nice. Yeah,
just... Kind of helps when you have a family to have a spouse. Sometimes. I mean, not for everybody, but...
Sometimes it's not planned. You'd be like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm a kid.
Yeah.
Not ready.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed, actually, is that it seems like previous generations have gotten married and had families much earlier than everyone plans to in this one.
Yeah. Well, there is like some people that have already like had kids like that just graduated last year.
It also might be because where society today tries to balance both having a career and having a family, but back earlier in the day, you would have like a wife at home to take care of the kids. But then when it's like a two spouse job, the later and more successful you are, the more money you have in support, which happens later, makes it easier to have children today because everything's so expensive.
Yeah, a lot of times today, like you know how you were saying, like usually like the women would stay home and take care of the kids. A lot of times, like now you can't do that, like especially if you start early, because it's just so expensive to live.
Yeah, especially just how people say, oh, you're a woman, you should stay home. Like, that was before. Now that we're in modern times, a lot of people are like, you're a woman, cool, go get a job.
Yeah. So what do you guys see with your families in the future?
I want a family. I've talked to a lot of people who are like, no, kids, I don't want kids, I don't want a wife. And I'm like, yeah, I could see myself having a family. I think I'd be a decent dad. I think I want to both have kids and adopt kids. When I say kids, I don't mean like 7 or 8. I just probably
cheaper by the dozen family.
Probably, yeah, cheaper by the dozen family. No, maybe probably just 2.
Remember, none of those are adopted.
No.
Not a
single one.
No, no, thank you.
A little too much.
Yeah, definitely. That would be a lot of fun.
Be very, keep you on your toes, at least. Keep you young.
Oh, that's what you can say. Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with what Roy said. You know, pretty much exactly what he said, actually. You know, I could see myself having a family, maybe 2 kids. You know.
We're on the same family boat.
Yeah, we're on the same family boat.
Well, like to build off of Royce's thing, like how you said you wanted to adopt.
Steal my ideas. Makes it
totally. It's just the now and day industry, it makes it so hard to adopt children now. It's hard. It's expensive. It's kind of ridiculous in my mind.
Yeah, it's really expensive and ridiculous. I don't know why they want to do that much, but just like to be a pain in the butt.
I think of adopting because of like overpopulation these days is such a problem, and it's high on the agenda. And like, so if you have 2 children, then you're kind of stabilizing the population level. But if you like adopt a kid, you not only like help a kid out by giving them a family, you also like help bring down overpopulation a little bit. I mean, that's not the whole thing, but that's a thing to think about.
Yeah, no, I would definitely adopt a kid if I could. If I, like, in the future I had the money and I was, like, able to do it, I think I definitely would adopt a kid because it'd be a good thing to do.
Yeah, and I know adopted kids, and it, like, really helps them out if you give them a good family.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not going to go to a good family. That's the whole point of it. It's just the way society makes it now is so hard to do it. Like, I have family that has been adopted, and it was so hard for them just to get their love child. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, well, a lot of times, like, if they don't get adopted, they just go from home to home, school to school, year after year, and it just, like, messes with them.
Which is weird. Like, why would they want that? You would think that they'd make it easier. But then again, sometimes they go to, like, a bad home, so you don't want it too easy.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
I mean, I understand, like, checking the place out and everything, you know, making sure it's stable, but they go to a huge extent sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about, do you guys want to move on to career opportunities for youth nowadays?
Yeah, let's go into that.
All right. Do you notice that there's a lot, I don't have any personal experience because I'm not older than I am, but it seems like there were always a lot more career opportunities for everyone back, at least one generation ago, our parents' generation, and, you know, it seems like all the jobs that we could have easily got when we were this age are now gone. Mm-hmm. There.
Just a lot of the industries have crashed. Like, a big thing for, Laytonville was logging. Laytonville was a logging town.
Yeah.
And then once it got closed down, we struggled for a long while before we found something else that we could do.
Marijuana.
Yep.
And now that's dying too.
A lot of jobs have like shifted, like modern jobs. And when we're out here in like rural Willits and like Laytonville and stuff, there's not so many of those jobs. So there's a much smaller job market out here.
Yeah.
Which probably leads to a lot of people moving away, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like, they strive for different, like, careers, like, different types. So, like, a lot of the times, Laytonville doesn't have, like, the type of career offering that they want.
Yeah, the opportunities for jobs. Every job available in this area in Mendocino County is kind of, in the rural parts of Mendocino County, is kind of irrelevant in the 21st century.
Hmm.
Like, a lot of the jobs around Laytonville are just to deal with, like, work in a gas station or work in the local supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Or the hair salon.
Or the hair salon. That's why a lot of people decide to move out, because they don't want to work in the gas station. They don't want to work in the market. They don't want to be in the salon sweeping up someone else's hair.
Yeah, nobody really wants to do that for the rest of their life here. But, I mean, some people just have to.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, nothing really changes, you know.
I think that's mostly why people move, because when we're younger, we're a lot more able to do it because we can go to school and just stay in the community where we go to school, or choose to go because you can, because you're young enough and you can just pick up your life and do that. A lot of the older people nowadays can't. They can't pick up their life.
Yeah. Or a lot of the people that are like that started getting out of those careers, like the marijuana industry and like logging and stuff. It's like it was extremely hard for them to like, and still is hard for them to try and go out to try to find another job, because, I mean, that's what they're used to most of their life, and then they go back and try to find something else, but they just don't have, like, I don't know how to put it, they just can't find any other job, because they're, all the other people are, like, looking for different skills that they don't necessarily have a lot of time invested into, so that's really hard for them, too.
Yeah, one thing that's that I was thinking about when you said that a lot of people that are moving out of Mendocino County to get jobs that they can't.
Oh yeah.
Those are generally the higher educated students of the youth, and if they move out, then what happens to the community? Do they just stay like that forever? What's the future of the community?
Well, a lot of the kids that are able to get out through school, like say the more brain capacity ableness. they get out because they can, because schools like, yeah, you're smart-ish, let's take you. When some of the kids they can't do that, and so they can't afford to go to school, or the schools just don't plain want them, so they just stay where they can.
I think that's how a lot of people like end up coming to Laytonville too, though. They'll be like from some other place, and then they'll go to college, and then they'll want to move to a small town, and they'll just, like, end up in Laytonville, and just, like, teachers and stuff like that from all different places. That's, I feel like that's, like, the same way how people come to Laytonville. That's pretty much what we're going to do with our future.
Yeah.
It's just once you come to a smaller town, like, say, Laytonville or Willits, you get stuck. Yeah, you get stuck because you can't afford to move again. You can't pick up your life, like I said before. It's much, much harder when you're older.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Anyone else have anything to talk about in the topic of careers for the youth?
Not really. No.
You wanna move on to climate change now?
Yeah.
The climate change is becoming more
noticeable,
yeah, especially with the fire going on up by Leggett, because it's just gotten so big because the drought we had this year with lack of rain, and not so it's not really wet enough to stop it, so it just builds.
How do you think climate change will affect the next generation then?
More fires?
More
fires.
No snow fires. Or something?
Less industry, you know, things like that. It'll make it a lot harder to get a job. And
Yeah, no, I remember, like, when I first moved out here to California, like, up in Laytonville, and I live on the mountains, like, we used to get so much snow. We'd get, like, completely snowed in. Like, we'd have to be stuck there for, like, a while. And, like, this year we hardly had any snow. We only had, like, a few inches, like, really one time.
From a freak storm.
Yeah, and that was the only time it really snowed up here. And so that's definitely noticeable.
Yeah.
And that's, like, one of the causes why it's so dry now. Because we just haven't gotten any.
Also because, like, all the rivers and stuff are so low.
The lakes, the Mendocino Lake.
It's not even one of the bad ones this year.
Yeah, actually. I thought it would have been worse.
Trinity Lake's really bad because the people in the cities, they can't provide for themselves as well as we can, so they take our resources.
It's really bad, though, because Trinity said, like, the people at Trinity said that they actually haven't lost that much. They lose, like, an inch and a half, I think. What was it?
Inch and a half
a week. Yeah.
If we keep having these hot summers, it's definitely going to hurt the little industry that we do have here invested in, like, wine and marijuana. I was browsing the internet the other day, and I saw this climate shift model about the areas that can support wineries. And it showed, like, the future climate of these valleys up here that do support, like, the growing of grapes. And it showed that as time progressed and as the climate change progressed, like, Napa Valley and stuff would slowly lose its ability to, like, grow grapes. And it would shift north. Like, I think it weakened in Napa Valley and, like, grew up higher Northern California and into lower Oregon, and those became really high, really well suited for the growing of grapes. So we're gonna lose even more jobs with the coming climate change.
Yeah, definitely. That's, like, one reason why the marijuana industry is going down too, is because, like, people just, like, can't get, like, water.
Can't get the water to grow it.
So. Yeah.
Do you think it's too late to do anything about climate change? I mean, it seems that because it is a future thing, it affects future generations. The generation right now that can't do something about it doesn't seem to care because it doesn't affect them.
Just passing the buck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could always do something to, like, try to stall it a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though, it's not like you can stop it, but you can try to, like, stop, like, slow it down as much as you can.
I think people get scared because it's such a massive problem, and you can't really see where to start with the thing. Like, whatever way you look at it, it's gonna cost so much money to stop the... Yeah, hand me stuff while I'm talking, you guys. Stop the global warming. It's stemming from our use of fossil fuels, but it's going to cost a lot of money to stop our dependency in America on the fossil fuels.
It's not like we need fossil fuels. You know, companies just want us to have
currently,
more until it runs out. In a sense, we need it.
Currently,
though.
We do need it. We need it badly because we don't have the industry underneath us to support us using anything else other than fossil fuels. We can, but we haven't done it. Like, is it too late to turn back? No, but will we turn back? I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not for 50 years.
Like, also building off the fossil fuel thing, like, something me and my father have talked about a lot, it's, say, the apocalypse happens, right? And people are like, yeah, I can survive. It's like, yeah, you can survive how much canned food you got stored in that little bucket right there. But can you survive on your own? Can you store, you say, your meats? Can you build your own veggie gardens? Can you find your own water? Can you live without fuel for your generator? Do you have enough ammo to kill your animals? And once you run out of ammo, what are you going to kill them with then?
Can you live without your cell phone for a week?
today's problems.
First world problems.
And that's actually how our generation would turn into zombies without their cell phones.
People are zombies with their cell phones.
Period.
They'd be just walking around trying to find a reception.
Get hit
by a
car.
There's another walker. Take him out. But luckily we have a pretty nice solar industry up here. But But
solar always needs to be replaced, though. Like, you can't have solar forever.
Yeah, they eventually need to be replaced. Well, the little chips that get worn out, the batteries get worn out, the equipment that you use for them,
it takes years, but, like, you can't live on
stuff
solar for,
last forever.
Yeah. Like I was saying a second ago, we don't have the advanced infrastructure to really be supported by solar yet. We're getting there.
Well, Mendocino College has, like, tons of, like, solar energy. They have so many, like, solar panels out front, which is, like, pretty cool.
I was talking to Dan earlier, and they're... Solar panels are great, but we haven't invested enough, R&D into them. They're not efficient enough to really be as great as they can be. Like, what are they?
Well,
are
that's
they,
because
20%?
That's because everybody focuses on
30% efficient
fossil fuel instead of solar panels.
If we get them up to, like, something crazy like 90% efficiency, man, we would be not possible. Well. We'd be rolling in the energy.
Yeah. Well, one thing my science teacher told me this year is that what they're doing to solar panels is before, I guess, they were only able to absorb the red light, but now they're making it to where they can absorb all three kinds of light and just make it to where they're more efficient and just better because people before were like, yeah, solar power, whatevs. But now we're running out of the stuff to fuel.
Fossil fuel.
Fossil fuels.
Dinosaur bones.
Also. Liquid explosive dinosaurs is what they are.
So, are you saying if we make more dinosaurs, we can have more fuel?
Yeah, we should just breed more dinosaurs and shove them in the ground and
get
more oil.
That is the future right
That's
there.
That's the future. Also, cheaply making solar panels is a problem these days because it's not cheap to put solar on your house. It pays for itself, but the initial investment's pretty... steep.
Well, I mean, like, me and my family, we live up a mountain, so we're, like, off the grid, so we don't have, like, electricity. We have a generator and solar panels, and on a sunny day, like, the solar panels will, like, last us all day
long. Do you guys
have
storage for the power from the solar panels?
Yeah, we have an inverter.
Oh, nice.
And so, like, the inverter will last us a while, too, like, if we're not, like, being power hogs and running everything, you know? We have to, like, turn on the generator for, like, you know, the washer and dryer. And not even the washer, just the dryer.
For mostly luxuries.
Yeah.
I know with my house, that's how it is. Like, you can have the generator on for simple things, but when, like, say, just dry your clothes and it's warm or windy outside, go throw them on the line, you know?
Renewable energy like that can be very cheap, actually. I know you can actually make solar panels at home. It's very difficult, and it would take a long time to do, but you can. And other things, you know, like wind turbines or things like that, hydroelectric plants, you could just take the alternate out of a car and tweak it a little bit and put it in the water and, you know, generate some energy.
But it's like, it's so much cheaper to use fossil fuels and stuff. And that's because they want it that way. They make it cheap.
Oh, it ain't cheap.
Well, would you say it's almost like people are lazy? Like Jordan was saying, yeah, just make a little water generator. But people are too lazy. I'm like, hey, we have it right here. Why can't we use it even though it's killing our earth?
Yeah.
So.
Well, we had a wind generator for a while. It worked pretty good. But like we just didn't get enough. Like we didn't get a ton of wind. So we'd use the wind generator and the solar panels and we were set. So that was pretty good.
Sounds cool. I haven't heard of anyone doing that.
It's because I live on the mountain. Thank you.
It's also like with these alternatives. Yeah, you have, say, wind in the winter and solar in the summer. But what if you have to replace it? Because wind generators are a bit of a hefty thing on your pocketbook. They're really expensive. So are solar.
It's definitely nice that we have so many climate-aware people in our community, because if we lived down in the city or something, people wouldn't necessarily care about their carbon footprint or whatever. They would just pay the power bill and, oh, look at that.
Hey,
power.
We all carpooled here, us three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, I rode my motorcycle, which is very, very cheap and very decently not carbon footy.
Printy.
I mean,
not carbon.
No, you printy. Just got like a single line of, you know, motorcycle track carbon footprint.
Yeah.
I could have walked, I guess.
Your
but
print.
It's not as much fun.
You got a tire carbon footprint.
True.
I mean, I could have walked, but it would have taken me like the whole weekend.
A couple days. It's a little hot. Lots of smoke in the air. Okay. Die.
Yeah. Die before I get down the mountain.
Just get to the, like, halfway to Willits and keel over.
Yeah.
That's a long walk.
A little bit. So another thing to do with, like, the climate and stuff is, for a while, I was on a cattle ranch and a hay ranch for actually 15 years, long while. and the thing is if you had a really poor winter and no rain or no snow or no weather period, kind of like we had this year, it's really hard on the cattle's feed. So we say harvest the hay for the cows. But you need hay because there's lack of rain. Same reason why the cows are having lack of food. So you have to have very minimal amount of hay. And also, I have never gone through a hay season where you haven't broken something important on the equipment. And that's also a very hefty fine. And so when you have to pay for the equipment to get fixed, that means you have to sell some of your cows. And when you sell some of your cows, you're losing more money, and it's just kind of like a giant circle of life. And this all happens because we don't have rain, and it's a hot winter and a hot summer, and everything just goes down into the dumps just because of something as simple as rain. It's something we take for granted, is the rain.
Yeah, do you think we should... This is kind of an out there question. Do you think we should be trying to combat climate change or trying to prepare for it?
I think prepare for it, because you can't really, like, yeah, weather, I'm going to kick you in the butt so you make more rain.
What will our society do? Probably try to prepare for it. We're pretty bad at facing stuff like head on.
There's a quote from John F. Kennedy, "Change is the law of life, and those who only look to the past or present are certain to miss the future."
That makes sense. Like, because if you keep dawning on what's in the past, you're not going to see what's immediately in front of your face. But like, well, 50 years ago, this guy did so-and-so, and you're missing what's happening right now.
Well, I think you should always, like, learn from the past and take your experiences, but, I mean, you should also look towards the future.
Yeah.
And, like, use those lessons that you learn for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Like, I've had someone ask me this. It's like, do you ever regret, say, dating this person or doing this? I say, I have no regrets because I just simply learned from my mistakes. Deep.
She's harsh.
You guys are getting all philosophical on me.
He's scared.
Be very intimidated.
I can't go that deep.
You know, another quote from George Orwell, who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. I thought that was really interesting thinking about.
A quote from Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
The future ain't what it used to be.
Sorry, whenever I read it, I like hear it in that voice. I like can't not say it.
I can't do the bear voice.
Do the bear voice.
She wanted him to do it. I haven't watched Yogi Bear
that much.
Because his name's Yogi Bear.
I think it was Southern Drawl.
That's not Yogi Bear.
Drawl?
Oh, okay.
I kind of want to hear it.
No, Yogi Bear.
I'm kind of curious, actually.
Can we hear your Southern Drawl?
Yeah, here we go.
Say it in Southern Drawl.
The future ain't what it used to be.
Not disappointed.
I think the listeners will like that.
Coming from Kansas, whenever I go down south, that is, like, completely accurate.
Yes.
Don't be offended. Oh, God.
I'm kind of upset that you didn't say it in the bear voice, though.
Oh, stop whining.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
Bears are not our future.
So, like, you guys made it sound like the climate change is, like, a cataclysmic event that is on the horizon and it's coming towards us. But I don't think it's going to be like that. I mean, it's going to be bad, but it's not going to be like a event, you know? I don't know where I'm going with this. Anyway, like, I just want to make it clear that I don't think it's like a cataclysmic one event. I feel like it's just going to get stepped towards worse for us, but I think the human race will survive. Human race will go on
unless we kill each other.
But
yeah, I feel like we'll all kill each other before like we die of climate change. I'm sorry.
That's optimism right there.
I wish have you looked at the world lately?
I wish we wouldn't die from the climate change, but we were like, you know,
adapt it.
I wish we would change it.
But
we could
adapt to it and become hairy mammoth people.
Wow, oh, well, that sounds cute. Pleasant. No.
Wait a minute. I think we would do the opposite if it was getting warmer. I don't think we would develop fur.
No, we can just go up north, like to Alaska, you know,
and go to Alaska, get all hairy, normal.
And then develop the fur.
Get all hairy. Never have to shave your legs if you're a girl.
No. I feel like you've thought this out before.
No, but it sounds like a good plan.
Go to like Canada or Alaska, be like, yeah, no, I have to shave.
He speaks that where we hit the points that are important.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a quote here by Confucius. It's if you think in terms of a year, plant a seed. If in terms of 10 years, plant trees. If in terms of 100 years, teach the people. What do you guys think about that?
That's deeper than my brain can go.
I think that goes back on to our point of a bigger focus on education for the future. We were talking about that already on the show, and I swear we talked about it for like a half an hour earlier.
oh, probably longer.
That the education system is really hurting, and that we should
try to change it and
change it and have a bigger focus on education.
I mean, because this is what you're gonna hand down to like your kids and your grandkids.
Yeah, it's scary because a lot of people say, "Yeah, the kids are our future." Well, a lot of kids around here don't have a very well education, so you're trying to make someone that doesn't have a well education be your future. Yet, that the government doesn't want to put money into our schools, that's another reason why we can't have a bright future, because we just don't have the funds for it. We can't afford the teachers. We can't afford the proper supplies.
But we need to go to, like, Hawaii and stuff for meetings.
Yeah. We cannot always build the future for our youth, but we can build our youth for the future. Franklin D. Roosevelt.
We're like, a really here and now, like, culture and society. Like,
well, that's like, what, like
instant gratification. I love that. You can, when talking about society, you can bring that in a lot. But, like, oh, it's my money and I want it now. Like,
I want it now.
We don't.
Quoting the general.
Yeah. And they make you go into debt for college. Like, if you want to further your education to get a degree, that's really expensive.
If you want to think about the future, you have to pay even more money.
Yeah.
You have to be poor before you can be enough money-ish.
Our teacher, how far is he in debt? $120,000?
Something crazy amount, because he had to go take extra years of schooling just to become this, to get his credentials.
Yeah.
And he was...
Yeah.
He was doing schooling while he was still trying to teach, and it was
honestly crazy.
He's so far into debt.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's sad, because he's really, like, one of the best teachers that we have at Laytonville High School.
The one trying to keep us afloat. We have kind of, like, a couple there now. Because a couple got let go, so we only have a few that are, like, keeping us afloat for real.
That, like, really actually care and want to, like, really help you and help your education for your future.
Like, notice and be like, these are the people that are going to be taking care of me while I'm in this old folks' home. Should probably teach them something good.
Don't want them to egg my house.
No. No one know toilet paper on my trees.
My trees don't
have us. Yeah. The new thing is to read. Okay. Here we go.
So we're going to open the phone lines now. And the phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, teachers, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about the future. What are the biggest changes you see coming in the next 20 years? How are you preparing for them?
If you are no longer a youth, how do you look at the future when you're 18? What were your expectations? How many of your intentions and projections came true?
How much of your life has turned out to be unpredictable? What wild cards changed your fate? What could our community do to create employment and keep our youth from moving to larger job markets? What effect will marijuana legalization have on our community?
Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, hello. Thank you very much for this show. I'm so inspired and grateful that you, the youth, are taking responsibility this way. Thank you. There are two things I'd like to comment, and then I'll get off the line. First, you were talking about energy sources, and I wonder if any of you have taken some opportunity to research the magnetic energy, free energy sources from magnetic generators, the one that I can buy and build. It was the one that was the generator that was responsible for Charles Lindbergh being able to cross the ocean with that airplane. He didn't have enough gas, but he had this generator. That, and I would like to know, you have so much on your plate growing up and getting introduced to the whole world, and I would like to know if there's any energy invested in understanding that we are beings of love, and that's our destiny, and that's our intention, and that's who we are and where we're going and what it's all about, and we all know that, and we get sidetracked with surviving in the world, because I want you all to be who you really are, because you're beautiful and young and growing, and you are, in fact, the future, which is right now. Thank you for this show. I'll get off.
Thanks.
Thank you.
To answer the first question about the magnetic generators, we actually built those in our physics class this year, and it's not very hard at all, and they powered...
Well, those were just, like, small little things for,
little
like,
ghetto ones, but it powered a light bulb. I can have one lamp in my house.
Yeah, we can make lamps.
We can make
you guys
lamps.
Talking about, like, crank?
No, you have a... Oh, it did run off a battery, though.
Well, that was a motor. If you just switch the polarity on it, you have a generator.
Yeah, all you have to do is just, like, take a magnetized thing in and out of the...
I believe that's what...
Oh, you mean like a shake thing? Like one of those shake lights?
Yeah, we do have
one. Shake flashlights.
Okay, that's what you're talking about. I was so confused for a second.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, I wondered if you guys were noticing what's happening in Colorado and Washington with the legalization of marijuana. And that the tax money goes to schools there.
I didn't know that.
That'd be very welcome here.
Yeah, well, call your congressman, call your board of supervisors, call your governor. But yeah, a lot of us have been pushing for legalization for years with the understanding that the money goes to schools. Because I think you're dead on. I think they've been pulling money out of schools and putting them into law enforcement for many years.
Yeah, I'm sure if... the tax money for marijuana went to schools, there'd be a lot of it here in California.
Yeah, look into Colorado right now because they're about a year into legalization there. And well, they're half a year, but all their schools are getting a lot of tax money right now.
Yeah, and I know a lot of places in Colorado when they first opened up those stores that sold marijuana, like a lot of them like were sold out.
Exactly. So I think we're ready here. I don't think we'll sell out that fast. I'd love to see the schools get the tax money, and I'd love to see marijuana be legal and our kids feel safe here. And, I'd love to see that. And I do believe that that's the future, and we are counting on your generation and the generations to come up with different innovative ideas and new ways of thinking. And there you go. Thanks for having a radio show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Collie.
Caller,
you're on the air.
Hi there. This is Holly Madrigal. I'm calling from Willits.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you guys for your show today. And I've got some questions for you. I mean, I grew up here in Mendocino County, and I chose after college to come back and, you know, to get involved in politics. I ran for city council in my 20s, and I'm serving as the mayor right now.
I totally know you. You're my driver instructor.
I was just wondering, do you guys feel like you have opportunities to get involved with your communities, especially if, you know, maybe if you're not interested in going to college, do you feel like you have mentorships or people or relationships in the community that are letting you guys know what your options are?
there's plenty of options. I just don't know if it's options that a lot of us are interested in.
Yeah.
Just because, okay. Like, not a lot of people like what's around here mostly. Not saying that in a bad way, just as in people want to just see what's out there, what's out in the world.
Yeah, like in Laintville, not everybody wants to work at a grocery store for the rest of their life or
right.
hair salon or something like that.
Yep.
But then I know that, like, is it Bruce at Laintonville High School that shows people how to make guitars? Yes.
Yeah, I'm actually in his class building a guitar.
Nice. See, that's one of those things that, you know, I certainly think it's important to leave the area and see, you know, how things work in other areas. I think that's one of the things that makes people appreciate what we have here, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
You know, like living in the big city for a while or certainly going to college can be wonderful. It's not for everybody. Not everyone wants to go to college, but being able to see what those, you know, areas are like, and then for those who do choose to move back home, basically, you know, there are things that you can do and ways you can get involved in the community that, you know, that aren't working at the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could always, like at Healthy Start, if you go and, like, ask to, like, volunteer your time, I'm sure, like, they would come up with, like, tons of, like, things that you could do, you know? So
Yeah. There's
always, like, things you can do to, like, get involved with the community.
I think there's
and
plenty.
What you guys are doing here on the radio is, you know, that could be a future for someone. The skills that you're learning with Dan Roberts or with KZYX, you know, you could go to college and help run one of their radio stations.
So I have a question for you, actually.
Yeah.
How does the city of Willits provide experiences for the youth, for, like, jobs and stuff?
Well, the city of Willits has sort of a, not a tangential role, but we are really trying to get young people involved with our council meetings. You know, we've considered possibly looking into having a sort of a youth advocate seat at the table, where I don't know, there's rules on who's allowed to sit on the city council. You know, for example, if you live outside the city limits, you're not allowed to vote for who's running for city council, which frustrates a lot of people. But we thought it might be of value to have that opportunity for people who maybe want to get involved in local government.
Yeah.
Because that's how I got started, is when I went to college down in Santa Cruz, and when I came home and my husband and I bought our house, I just thought, you know, when I was growing up here, we tended to complain a lot about how there wasn't a lot to do. You know, as we know, there's all these challenges. But when I moved back here, I was like, you know, if I want to be involved, I actually want to contribute and do something. So I started going to the meetings and just seeing if I was interested. And, you know, since I've been on the city council, we have the first skate park in Mendocino County. I know that Rolo was working on that for the Laytonville area.
Yeah, he still is sometimes.
A lot of my friends love that.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity. You never know what's going to get you excited about something. So that's an opportunity to get in touch with Roland and see how you can help if that's something that you want to have happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the youth advocacy, seat is, like, a really good idea. I know in Laytonville they have a youth advocacy group from, like, Healthy Start funds it, and I was a part of that for a year, my sophomore year.
That's great. And like I said, even doing this radio show is really something. It's really great that you guys are willing to have this conversation with the whole listening audience, which is, you know, I'm sure hundreds of thousands of people. And if people don't listen, they could, you know, they could listen on. I was listening online, actually. You know, so it's another way to access, and people really like to hear what it is that you guys think is important and how we as a community can support you.
That's nice.
Well, thank you.
No problem. So yes, thank you guys so much. If you're old enough to vote, make sure to vote.
Only one of us is.
Get involved and make sure to vote when you can.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Bye.
Bye.
I love her. She's so sweet.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Denise, and I'm calling you from Willits.
I just would like to give you guys just a few thoughts. I love your conversation. A few thoughts and areas that you might just research. Are any of you familiar with something called HARP? H-A-R-R-P?
I'm not
100%, no.
Is it a part of AARP?
Ignore him.
Okay. It's the healthcare part of AARP.
No. It is an incredible array of antennas directing energy at the Earth's ionosphere. And they're using it to hit the ionosphere, which is what keeps us from burning up from the sun's rays and giving us an atmosphere. They are bombarding it with microwaves. And there's a lot of information about it, and I would just like you to go and take a look. It's spelled H-A-R-R-P. And by the way, they're using technology from someone called Nikola Tesla. Are you familiar with
Tesla,
him?
Tesla, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Tesla's original work that the government controls this. It's all over the world, unfortunately. We've got two or three arrays of these antennas. Two of them are in Alaska. And other countries have it, too. And what they are doing is, I heard you talking about climate change. Unfortunately, climate change is more or less being caused by us, but not in a way you think. There's a second website you need to go to called globalengineeringwatch.org. This is a gentleman up in the Shasta area that is watching what is happening. There's chemtrails all over. All you need to do is looking up to see it. These strange clouds and these strange lines. And
yeah, we always see them all the time up here.
They sort of joke that a plane sort of got mixed up in the flying. Well, they are global engineering the planet, and it's not just the United States, it's all over the world.
Okay, well, thank you. We'll definitely look it up.
Yeah, I have to look that up.
Okay. And the point I want to make here is that it's not just affecting out there, it's affecting us. I have a garden with tomatoes, and I try to grow it organic. And the other day, I got really ill seeing what I saw. There was all little speckles of glitter on all the leaves. I'm in Willis here. I brought it.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to have to go ahead and wrap up the call. Sorry about that. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Wonderful. I'm enjoying your show. It's great that you guys are doing this.
Well, thank you.
The main thing that I wanted to say is just to quote Gandhi, to be the change you wish to see in the world. You were talking earlier about the climate change and what could we do about it. And a lot of it really comes down to our personal choices, because society is made of individuals. And never doubt the huge effect that your personal life has on the people around you. And just by being a good example and doing what we can do in the moment, we can have a huge effect on the future of our race, for sure. And then also, all of that conspiracy stuff, too, I'd really take all that with a grain of salt, because every time we kind of blame another institution or a group of people for what's going on in our personal lives, we remove the power from ourselves. We kind of disempower ourselves from being able to take action and make those changes ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'd have to say on that subject.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Keep it up. Bye-bye.
Reminds me of my friends. Okay, so that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your host, Dave, and me, Royce.
Me, Jesse, from Laytonville High School.
Me, Kia, from Laytonville High School.
And me, Jordan, from Laytonville High School. Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email Jama at jamashields@pacific.net.
You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX, and they are views of those who express them. You Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 5 weeks. That is September 7th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in September.